Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be sore at the banks. How? We fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. We got, I think we don't have production value here. Little France reference there. And somebody who's not quite in the north of France, but she's not far from the north of France. Kind of a little north central, I guess, is our good friend Leslie Kossoff. Leslie is a long time, 10-year plus member of our Brain Trust. All contacting us, talking to us, visiting with us all the way from Paris, France. Leslie is one of the folks who helps us on a regular basis become better executives, better managers of our businesses. She is the author of a number of books on this topic, and she's the creator of the outstanding new series, The Executive Field Guides, which will help you immensely in your business. Leslie Kossoff, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure, Jim. It always is.
How are things in the North Central, in North Central France? Not in the North, but North Central.
Well, you know, the economy is taking its toll. For all that the quality of life remains basically the same, there really is a noticeable difference in the way that business is doing, and people are adjusting accordingly. But that doesn't mean that they're not taking their August vacations and that the whole of Paris is practically closed down except for the tourists.
Yeah, in France, August is like, let's get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? But yet you're still there.
I am, because what I've learned is that among the really dyed-in-the-wool Parisians, we actually like it better because it's quieter and easier to do things that we wouldn't otherwise be able to.
It's exactly right. I used to live on the lake for a number of years, and most people who don't live there go to the lake in the summer, and the best time to be on the lake is in the winter, in the non-summer months, because, as you say, it's quieter. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that where it's never quiet is in a small business, and one of the reasons it's not quiet there, even if the volume level isn't loud, the anxiety, the tension, the challenges, the things that small business owners have to deal with is pretty intense, and one of the things I want you to do is continue to do what you've been doing over the years, and that's help us to be better executives. And every small business owner, whether they realize it or not, they are a CEO. They are an executive running a business, even if it's a tiny one. And so help us with that.
Well, there's so much to it. But the main thing is that if you have your strategy and your operations aligned, you're going to be solving most of your problems before they ever occur.
Help us understand. I mean, operations, I think we get that. I think we know what that means. That's, you know, unlocking the door, turn the machines on, let customers come in, you buy, you sell, et cetera. But talk to us about this idea of a strategy.
The strategy side of it really gets into how do you become the best supplier of whatever your product or service is of anyone on your competitive landscape. What is it that you need to do that's going to differentiate yourself from those, even those who are selling exactly the same thing, and I mean exactly the same thing that you're selling, but you can find a way to sell them better from your customer's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always about what it is that the customer is looking for. And one of the points that you very often make, Jim, that I agree with absolutely, and when you talk about how the small business man really can't compete ever on a price basis with the big bucks.
The price war's over. The price war's over and we lost.
We absolutely did. Small businesses cannot win, but where a small business will win, and I mean really will win, is that customers are looking not just at price points. Value has a much broader definition
than just
price.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
I was just going to say, I want to come back for a second about what you said about with strategy and where things are going. to me, I think of I'm not a hockey fan, but I love the quote what's the guy's name, the hockey great, and for some reason I haven't seen
Wayne Gretzky.
For some reason I just lost his name. He said, okay, he said I'm on a hockey court. I'm playing the game. The game is laid out in front of me. I'm in the moment in this game, and this is where I'm operating in this game. But my strategy is to skate where the puck is going, not where it is.
Yes.
Isn't that kind of what strategy is?
That is.
You're in the moment in your business. You're dealing with customers, but you've also got to think about where are my customers going to be a year from now or a week from now.
Absolutely correct, and also to drive them where you want them to be.
Well, if you can, but for sure, to let them allow you to follow them, if nothing else. Hold on that thought. Quick break. 20 till. Right back with the great Leslie Kossoff. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there. And don't forget to take our poll question. And that question is on which party or movement, which political party or movement do you think has the best ideas for the economy? And when you give us your answer, it's right on the homepage. It's easy to do. One click, two clicks, actually, is what it takes. And when you give us your answer, you'll be able to see immediately how things turn out, how the polls are going so far. And by the way, before I go any further, we're having a great visit with Leslie Kossoff, and we're talking about executives. But I want to give a little shout-out quickly to my niece, Erin Ross, who is just turned 13. And I want to wish her a happy birthday. Leslie Kossoff, we're talking about doing a better job of managing our businesses, and you we're talking about the relationship between strategy and operations. Talk to us about that some more.
And most particularly being a very, very smart supplier and using a smart strategy for being a smart supplier, although I also want to extend my birthday wishes to your niece, too.
All right.
So the thing, and I want to pick up where you left off, Jim, because you were talking about seeing where your customer is a year from now, and I immediately replied with, and also taking them where you want them to go.
Right.
Strategically, what you want is a balance. You have to get close to your customer. You need to understand not just the way you think they are using what it is that you're providing, but the way they're actually using what you're providing. And that includes everything, especially if you're feeding into a manufacturing supply chain. That includes everything from how their order process is done to how they do receiving.
Right.
Is it just-in-time inventory?
You're talking vertically integrate as much as you can into it, to be a handshake. It's your operation to have it. Make a very tight-knit, dovetail handshake.
To the point that they cannot imagine running their business without you being part of it.
Because you're a partner now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that is part of your strategy. But when you have that information, keep in mind they have content expertise about what they do. You have content expertise about the products or services that you provide. You know what the future is of what you can do in ways that they can never imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is the balancing act strategically of knowing where they're going so you can absolutely be there to fulfill it, but also opening up vistas to them that become competitive discriminators on their behalf by staying not only close to you, but expanding their
relationship. And see what happens when you do all of that. You give them some peace of mind.
Yes.
Because the element of their business that you're good at and that you're helping them with is more than likely not their core competency. And if it's not their core competency, therefore they're not experts at it. But if anything you have to have done, in your business that you're not an expert in, there's a little bit of worry there. There's a little wall of worry. And if you can give them, if you can perform in a way that makes them feel that you're taking care of them and that you're thinking about them, it gives them peace of mind. And that's the kind of thing that, as you said a while ago, that they won't, you can't run customers like that off. They can't imagine doing without you. And now we come back to the price war, right?
Exactly.
Tell us
about
that.
You can charge more for that.
Because you're worth it now.
Exactly.
But if you're just delivering a commodity, you're not worth any more than that commodity.
And this is the difference between a unique selling proposition and a value proposition. So when people talk about USPs, unique selling points, or and they're talking about a very specific, very defined entity, they're not talking about the value that it brings.
Right.
If you think about what you're offering in terms of the value proposition, the benefits that it provides, and as you're describing, Jim, perfectly, peace of mind is an incredibly valuable commodity.
And I'll tell you something, it is a very important part of what's becoming the differentiator in the marketplace, and that's the experience customers have with you.
Absolutely true.
Because your product is no longer unique. Your service is no longer unique. It's all about the experience.
You are absolutely correct. And knowing when a customer knows that whether you're there in person, in product, or totally in absentia, but they have what they need from you in their hands, and they know that every time they turn on the switch, however that's defined, it's going to work. It becomes the thing that they don't have to think about. It becomes invisible to them. And in that invisibility, and this is something you and I have discussed also, this is why you have to get in with them even closer, identify even more and better ways, because otherwise they're going to forget how valuable you are, and you always want them to remember that.
That's right. And that means that you have to think about them. You know, when I had my consulting company, every time I thought of something for about that would be anything at all that one of my clients could benefit from, I pick up the phone and call them. This is before email, and we just barely had cell phones in those days. And I'd be riding down the road, maybe going somewhere across town or going home, and I'd pick up the phone and call them and say, "Yeah, I was just thinking about something," and they knew I wasn't going to bill them for that. I wasn't billing them for that call, but that I was thinking about them, and that made them feel like somebody else was out there fighting the war with them.
Absolutely true. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, and that's what you got to do right now. Leslie, we need to know how we can find the executive field guides.
Go to thinkingexecutive.com, all one word, thinkingexecutive.com/smallbusinessadvocate, and you'll get the discount price.
The discount. We like those discounts. Thank you for that. I worked hard for that discount, folks. Well, I didn't have to work too hard. Leslie, she gave it to us pretty quick. So thinkingexecutive.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, stand by.
Small Business Advocate.
There you go. Quick break, 10 till. Stay with us.
Life goes on day after day.
Little Jerry and the Pacemakers. Ferry across the Mersey from the Wayback Machine. And that's Jerry with a G. By the way, if you're looking them up on YouTube, you ought to go check that out. It's a pretty cool song. Welcome back, 7 till the hour. Our good friend Leslie Kossoff is with us. She's the creator of the Executive Field Guides, and I encourage you to check those out, folks. That's the thinking. Is it thinkingexecutive.com?
Yes, it is.
Thinkingexecutive.com. And if you put a /smallbusinessadvocate on the end of that, folks, you're going to get the discount that she's graciously offered you. So check it out, folks. This is a way of, I'm telling you, Leslie, one of the things that small business owners have got to figure out how to do, and that's to take some time, an hour a week, 2 hours a week, 3 hours a week, whatever they can somehow squeeze, even if it's on Saturday morning or Wednesday night, and get themselves out of the trenches and get in their spaceship, their orbiter, and go up to 30,000 feet and orbit over their business and think about strategy. Think about being an executive, not just an operator. They got to do that. I just think that's the difference between having success and knowing it and just muddling through. What do you think about that?
It's absolutely true. And it's unfortunate that most small business owners rarely either have or believe they have the time or dedicate that time that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it is a matter of making that commitment to yourself and to your business that you're going to do that, because what you're doing when you're willing to sit back and take that 30,000-foot view is you are actually giving your business a future.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, all you have is what you have right now. You don't have the opportunity to look to see what's coming next, to figure out the kinds of things we're talking about. And, you know, in my executive field guides, in the middle part of it, and it's, by the way, the version that I've made available for small business owners is actually broken into three pieces, so that if you don't want to buy the whole thing and do a full-on transformation, you can target in on the things that are bothering you.
One
and it'll give you the answers you need. Exactly.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And one of the things that really got me thinking about that was that what we're talking about in this discussion on strategy and on being an executive actually is all about innovating. It's about how do you look at your present and create a future based on the opportunities that you see and that are surrounding you.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you give yourself the opportunity to do it, you're not, first of all, going to see them. And the other thing that's really, really important, and I think this is, for me at least, in many ways, this is the single most valuable new information that I have in those guides, totally different way of thinking, is innovation strategy based on relationship building with others. So that it's not, there's too much internal pressure where you think you have to be the one to come up with the innovation.
Yeah.
No, you actually don't. There are others in other industries who are developing innovations that you can adopt, apply, and suddenly everyone is winning.
Well, and these in this and that ranges from off the shelf stuff you can buy or license.
Yes.
To what I talked about with you folks when I started talking to you back in 98. And that's the concept of strategic alliances.
Absolutely correct. And this is like a next generation of strategic alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And because this one is really based on innovation. And it's a different way of doing business. And it's not that it's not being done. It's that it's not being done enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're smart...
Well, let me stop for a second. The problem is this is a level of sophistication the small business owners typically try to avoid because they think it's all about big business. They don't realize that what you've done with your guides and what others have done, and it's happening every day, is more and more thought leaders are saying, here's how to apply these highly successful, tried and true best practices on a small level.
And what you'll see, in fact, in some of the examples that I give are small businesses.
Yeah.
And so because this is not just being done by any means by the big organizations. In fact, the big organizations are trying to figure out how to take advantage of the different kind of thinking that comes from small organizations.
They're going to have to start thinking smaller, Leslie.
They are.
The marketplace customers are moving towards small.
Yes, they are, because they want that customization, they want that value, and once again, we're right back to where we started, they're willing to pay for it.
Exactly, and that's another reason why over 10 years ago, I predicted that the 21st century would be the century of the entrepreneur, and everything that you're saying, and the fact that, and the work that you're doing, Leslie, for small businesses is another fulfillment of that prophecy. Give us the website one more time, please.
ThinkingExecutive.com, and for the guides, ThinkingExecutive.com/smallbusinessadvocate.
Hey, Leslie, thanks for being here, and have a great time in August in France.
Thank you.
Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen, can't do without her. She'll be back. I will be too, but it will be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.